We always enjoy when we get to have a conversation with those who work in our school districts, and we're excited to have the Lancaster County School District Superintendent joining us here on Palmetto Mornings. His name is Dr. Rashad Fitzpatrick. He's in his second full year within the district, though he was with the district prior to that, learning the ropes of the job of the superintendent before the training wheels came off, Dr. Fitzpatrick. Then you got full control of the district 2 years ago, and you serve the Lancaster County School District, which includes communities of Lancaster, Andrew Jackson, Buford, and Indian Land. So let's welcome Dr. Fitzpatrick to Palmetto Mornings, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have you on the show because you wrote a letter to the editor addressing some just misconceptions that folks seem to have when it comes to the Lancaster County School District. First of all, kind of what's the overarching theme of this letter? And we'll dive into some of the specifics of it.
Okay. I think the overarching theme was to get accurate information out there to the public. There was a misconception that we hired a lot of new people, new positions added to the district's budget and to the district staff. And really, it was restructuring of the district staff, and it wasn't near as many new people. As a matter of fact, just one new position that impacted the budget. And so I just wanted to get the message out and share the information on how we restructured and why we restructured.
Well, let's start there. It is nothing new for a school district often to restructure positions within the district office. So that happens in school districts throughout the country. It's happened right here in the Tri-County area. What specifically was maybe the misconception that folks had here? I know you briefly mentioned it, but if you can dive deeper into what the misconception was and clearing up that myth.
Okay. Well, the misconception, start off, we did hire new people in new positions or positions that were changed or restructured, and that was seven new people that was reported in an article in Lancaster News. And the article made it seem like there were seven total new positions added, and that wasn't the case. When I looked at restructuring, when I came in as superintendent, first of all, I did a 90-day look, listen, and learn. Mm. And so wanted to talk to everyone about the needs of the district, things that we could do better, and what we could put in place to ensure that our students were successful and that our community was supporting us. And so after going through that 90 days, a couple of things jumped out. People felt like they weren't heard. And there was no trust between the school district and the community. And also, principals felt like they needed more support. And so doing that and looking at that, started thinking, well, how can we restructure? And in order to ensure that voices are heard, those employee voices and the community, we hired a director of employee relations and community relations, who also serves kind of as the ombudsman. And so any concerns that parents have, that community members have, employees have, and that person, would take care of those. And when we looked at the principals wanting someone, needing more support, we had a elementary director of academics and a secondary director, but no overarching K-12 person. And so in order for us to be successful academically, then we have to have a consistent vision K-12. And so we ended up hiring a chief academic officer that leads the academic vision K-12 and make sure the principals have support on what they need to ensure that teachers have what they need in the classroom. And so really and truly, I'm just going to go over some information here. The new hires on the leadership team, I mentioned director, employee, community relations, and I'm going to do math. I'm not a math major, but I'm going to do some math right okay. Now. So that's one. Director, employee, and community relations is one. Chief academic officer is two, and we hired a director of transformation and middle level education, which middle level education was our weakest area, and also schools that were really behind due to several different factors, and some of our high poverty schools, we needed to transform. And so hired that person, a deputy superintendent for operations administration. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 5, chief human resources officer. And number 6, a director of elementary education. And so that's 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the district leadership team. But with those positions, through attrition and grants, we had a director of research and development. And so we didn't hire that person back. So that's one position gain. We have a, had a chief operations and HR officer. We didn't hire that person. So that's two positions when that person retired. Director of elementary education, which you heard at the top there. So that was just a switch out. But that's 3. Director of secondary education, 4. And the transformation and middle school director I spoke about at the top, well, that position was funded through a grant. So that wasn't anything, any money out of general fund. So that's 5 positions that were through attrition and through a grant. And so if you do, and again, here's my math. I'm not a math major. 6 minus 5 is 1. So that is 1 totally new position in a district leadership team that was impacted the general fund budget. And we hired specialists, MTSS specialists and literacy specialists, but gained through attrition from literacy specialists and early learning specialists that through attrition. So that's 2 and 2. So that evens out. And so even though it appears that we had all these new positions and hired them, we did hire those people, but we balanced it with attrition and with grant funding. And so those positions didn't hit the general fund budget as was reported. And I don't think it was anything malicious to report it. I just think that the newspaper looked at, okay, these are the new positions, this is their salary, this is how much it was. And so, but the breakdown of the information and the strategies behind it weren't reported. And so I just wanted to make sure that that information was out there in the public.
Since the letter has gone out and you are now kind of doing a breakdown and really explaining that, has the community kind of backed off a little and said, oh, okay, now we see where we're coming from, and that, of course, the students are, you know, first and foremost. Have you seen a better reaction now that you feel like you have kind of explained that?
I've heard several comments that people were glad that we were able to put the information out. And so I think that helps. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime that you have anything out in the public, you're going to have opinions. You're going to have information that's second, third hand. And so if you put it out firsthand, then hopefully that helps people with some of their concerns. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be transparent, address concerns. And if anyone in the public has a concern or a question, then we want to be there to give them that information.
Absolutely. Well, I think this goes to say, no matter if it's a school district, a county council, a mm-hmm. city council, a nonprofit board, these discussions with these employees, this was, I assume, discussed in a council meeting or school board meeting, right? So this should not be brand new information that folks can learn about that in this regard if they have any kind of questions. I guess you're never going to stop misinformation, but what can you tell folks so they don't get completely like lost in all the facts and the figures? Because I can see where a little bit some families might say, like, what's going on here? When you broke it down like that, it makes it more clear, makes sense. What can you do to prevent this, I guess, from happening anytime there's any other decisions that come down from the district office?
Well, anytime that there is a decision made, or anytime that we hire anyone, that is done at a board meeting. And so board meetings, citizens can attend board meetings. Board meetings are all online. They can watch it live. They can go back and watch it, when it's over. You know, and if you don't ever have anything to do on a Saturday morning, just go log on to the board meeting. That's going to be a great use of your time. But seriously, I think if indeed they watch the board meeting, they have questions, the first thing to do is to contact Rodney Graves. He is our director of employee and community relations. And I mentioned him before. That was one of those positions that, you know, we needed in order to ensure that all parental, community, and employee concerns are addressed. But that's his job. His job is to talk to the community, talk to individuals with any concerns they have. And if he can't answer them, he will get back to them with an answer or get him to the right them to the right person to answer that question. So Rodney Graves is the person to contact at the district office.
I know we're pushing up against a break here, but we do want to let folks know that Lancaster County School District, Dr. Fitzpatrick, was removed from the fiscal watch, which again came from the South Carolina Department of Education. And briefly, just bring us up to speed, what happened there and being removed off this watch list. What does that mean now moving forward?
When I came as superintendent, we were on fiscal watch, and the finance team did a wonderful, great, and excellent job addressing the concerns of the State Department to ensure that our finances were in order and that our financial procedures were correct. And so we ended up coming off fiscal watch, and after we came off fiscal watch, the last 2 years, we've actually had perfect audits with no findings. And we have the lowest risk rating with the financial process also.
Perfect. And, of course, you got some great news recently when the test scores came back in, and we'll kind of let you brag on the district real quick as we wrap up the interview.
Okay. And a lot of great things to talk about academically. 90% of all tested areas, that's SC Ready and EOC, all those areas, those grade levels, 90% of them had gains. We had 83% of our grade levels in grades three through eight gained in ELA and math, and 100% on SC Ready and science grade levels gained, and 100% of our EOC scores and grade levels in those tested areas in English 2, Algebra 1, Biology 1, and U.S. History saw gains. And we were in the top 10 in the state in several grade levels and areas also. And so we're really excited about the academics. Graduation rate is the highest it's ever been on record. And so we're really excited about the direction we're headed in. And I think this builds the momentum of what we're trying to do.
Perfect. Well, you get an A+ when it comes to fashion based on
that's
that sport
sure.
coat. You are rocking that sport coat. So if that's a grade, you get an A+ and a gold star. We give those out sometime on this show. His name is Dr. Rashad Fitzpatrick. He's a superintendent for the Lancaster County School District. Hopefully, again, that maybe addresses some of the concerns or worries or information that you've been hearing there in the Lancaster County School District. As he said, watch the school board meetings, reach out to your school board representative, attend the meetings, start there, ask your questions, and work your way up.